can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. On a Thursday, coming up in mere moments, maybe even seconds, Thirsty Nick with the Thirsty Thursday Sports Quiz. We had an interesting conversation with Jay Williams, former Duke basketball player, Chicago Bull, and now soon-to-be morning co-host at ESPN Radio. Very enjoyable conversation with, I think, a little bit of breaking news in there. In case you missed it, we'll recap that conversation. And still plenty more college football to talk about. Going to rehash the Jeff Brohm plan to play Big Ten football in the spring. See if anybody else jumps on. And we've got a lot of NFL stuff to get to as well. Plus, booing of players kneeling at an MLS game. I have some thoughts on that, too. So, a lot to get to. Before we go any further, it's time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
Travis Kelce and the Kansas City Chiefs have agreed to parameters on a four-year extension that would tie the tight end to Kansas City through 2025. They're just printing money there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. No
cap. Nebraska is in its speculation about breaking from the Big Ten's plan to postpone fall football. The university president and chancellor sent a nice letter saying, yeah, we like that $55.5 million that comes with playing in the Big Ten every year. And the puck is about to drop in the NHL bubble. One of the bubbles, Blue Jackets and Bolts.
All right.
Bolts up 1-0 in that series.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we got Thirsty Nick on the line. We ready to go for our Thirsty Thursday sports quiz. Nick, how are you?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Thanks for having me again.
You betcha, man. How's your Thursday going so far?
It's going pretty well. Just at home with the dogs, kicking back, relaxing, you know.
How many dogs do you have?
I got two dogs. I got a Havanese and a little Aussie Doodle.
Are they yours or your fiance's?
They're our dogs.
Oh, all right.
Right.
All right, very good. All right, what will today's topic be?
Okay, well, we went college basketball last week, so we're going to switch back. We're going to go college football this week.
All right, very good.
This is a quiz.
Welcome back, boys and girls. It's another exciting episode of the Thirsty Thursday Quiz. I'm your host, Thirsty Nick, on the Scheman and Shepard program with Chris behind the glass. Today's topic is college football, but first, let's take a look at our scoreboard. Chris is our current leader with 34 points, followed by Pete at 31, and Craig with 25.
Wow.
But Craig,
yeah,
this could be your day.
I'm hoping.
Could be.
Question number one.
Yes.
Florida State, Miami. All three schools are among the top 10 college football programs that have spent the most time as the AP number one team in the nation. Of the three Florida schools, which school has spent the most time at the top of the poll?
Miami.
Florida State.
Florida State!
Hey!
You got one! Florida State has spent 72 weeks as the number one team in the AP poll.
Bobby?
Miami right behind at 68 weeks.
Oh, squeaker. Bobby
and
Bowden,
Florida with 41, right. And Alabama, in case you were wondering, is number one overall, and it is not even close.
No.
All right, moving on to question number two.
Yes.
So, Craig, you're closing the gap.
Yes, I am.
Okay?
Yes.
Question two. Alabama was the most represented college on 2019 Week 1 NFL rosters with 56 active players.
Yes.
Alabama was followed by Ohio State, Florida, Miami, LSU, and Florida State. Excluding Notre Dame, which non-Power 5 school had the most players on active Week 1 rosters this past NFL season?
Non-Power Fives.
They had 17 players on active Week 1 rosters.
UCF.
UCF, that's one. Now there's a tie. Actually, there were two non-Power 5 schools. Chris, you got 1 point for UCF.
Oh.
Craig, do you want to take a guess?
Yes.
At other schools?
Yes, I do.
What?
I'll go like non-Power 5. Dang it. Houston.
Can I try to get an extra bonus point?
Chris, go ahead, get it.
Boise State.
Oh, that was a really good guess. No, I was surprised. I was shocked to learn it was Temple. Temple had 17.
Really?
Players.
Could have been here a while.
I was going to go Miami of Ohio next. I wasn't even close. All right.
All right, moving on. Question number three. Rice and Houston are only 4.6 miles apart, making them pretty bad at social distancing.
Yes.
Which FBS school wins the award for best social distancer by having the greatest distance between themselves and the next closest FBS program? Besides Hawaii. I should have thrown that in.
Okay, all right.
You said FBS, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And I'll cut straight to the chase. It's a Power 5 school.
Oklahoma.
No. Stillwater.
Utah.
No.
No, Colorado's not going to be it. Hold on. Let's just not throw stuff against the wall, Craig. You got to sit back. You got to really analyze these sorts of things.
I thought my guesses were pretty good.
It's a Power 5, you said?
It is. I was shocked to learn this, too. I did not expect this one.
Goodness gracious.
Baylor.
Kansas?
No. You guys are in the right conference, though.
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. You
Woo!
Got it, Craig. Yeah, Texas Tech.
Lubbock is in the middle of nowhere.
296 miles Ooh. To the University of North Texas, the
wow.
next closest
wow.
FBS school. Other strong answers would have been Washington, Washington State, Minnesota, and Missouri, all four very isolated.
I was eyeballing Missouri. All right, very good.
All right, and our last question for the day. Notre Dame currently holds a 49-win-37 loss record against arch rival USC. However, USC is not the team that Notre Dame has played the most total games against. Which Division I team is Notre Dame's most played opponent at 93 meetings?
Navy.
Ooh,
Navy!
That's
you
that's
got it.
Yes.
That's a good guess, Chris.
On, Greg.
Hey.
You got to be faster than that, buddy. You got to be faster, Chris.
Once it came out of his mouth, I was like, that's it.
Well, Craig, I got good news and I got bad news for you. The good news is that you're closing the gap on Pete, but the bad news is Pete's probably going to be back next week, and also Chris just increased his lead. So taking a look at the scoreboard, Chris, 36, Pete, 31, Craig, 27.
27.
Not bad.
I'm not bad. You know, I'm within striking range of Pete. Like, if I have a hot Thursday, I can catch up and tie him.
You really could, yeah, and so that was, by the way, good interview with Jay Will there. That was pretty fun to listen to. Chris, let me ask you a question. Did it make you feel any better what he had to say about North Carolina?
No, it made me feel a little bit worse, actually. I texted some of my buddies who are Tar Heel fans and said, guys, you will never believe this, but we could have had him.
That
we could have had Jay Will.
That was the first thing. When we hang up, that's the first thing I was going to talk to Chris. Thirsty Nick, I think you could fill in for me next time I'm out on vacation. You know how to do a talk show, man. You know. You've got it.
Well, you know, just let me know. I'll just be right down, and we'll just do Thirsty Thursday quiz for four straight hours and find some time for Wikipedia, and we'll be good to go.
Sounds Love good, it. My man. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, guys, remember, until next week, stay thirsty.
Stay thirsty. All right. Thirsty Nick, everybody. Very good quiz once again. I'm within four of Pete. He's trembling.
I'm building up a nice little lead here.
Yeah, you're up there.
Nice little lead.
You're definitely up there. Well, you got to be first at something because it hasn't been Pigskin.
No, it has not. But I feel like eventually that's got to even itself out. And for every 67 and 90 season, there's a 90 and 67 season hanging out there.
Somewhere.
I just got to find it.
All right. If you're just tuning in, we spoke with Jay Williams, formerly of Duke, the Chicago Bulls. ESPN is going to be part of the new morning show at ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. It starts on Monday, part of their new lineup. I enjoyed that conversation very much. I took several notes during the conversation, things I wanted to bring back up for conversation. And if you missed it, I highly recommend you go back and listen to it eventually on our podcast when we get up there on the Sheeman and Shepherd podcast at 993ESPN.com. The first thing I asked him, just kind of a little warm up, you know. He's a Duke guy. Chris is a North Carolina guy. I asked him if Chris was polite to him behind the scenes, putting him on the air, greeting him, getting him ready, getting comfortable for the show. It's one of the things Chris does. And he drops on us that he wanted to go to North Carolina badly. Lifelong Tar Heel fan. Ugh. Bill Guthridge didn't go after him hard enough. They thought they were set at point guard.
With Ronald Curry, who was a really good receiver for the Raiders.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a fine point guard. You had anyway.
So,
and no, behind the scenes, I was actually very nice to Jay Will.
Yeah, well, I expect you to be professional.
And he was very nice back. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the time, it's just the cordial, hey, thanks for hopping on with us. You know, have a good one.
Yeah.
And we had a nice little conversation behind the scenes.
So, I mean, now you've had 45 minutes to digest this news.
Yeah.
This, let's see, what year? 2002?
2002, yeah. That was with...
So you would have been... this is your most impressionable fandom age.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
Okay, so this is in your wheelhouse.
You know, Mike Dunleavy was playing with Duke at that time, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Elton Brand was on that team.
Huh.
I mean, it was a squad for Duke, and it was like the first Duke team that I remember truly hating.
And they won a natty.
They did win a natty, yeah.
So, and North Carolina, those were the Bill Guthridge years where you win 30 games but don't do anything.
No,
yes?
No.
Am I off by
no.
a few?
The Bill Guthridge years, actually, towards the end of it, there was not a lot there. Not a lot there. Jeff Capel's brother, Jason, was at Carolina at the time.
Yeah.
Guy by the name of Chris Lang. And, like, you know, Ronald Curry, who was there to play quarterback for the Tar Heels, not point guard, but he did both.
Right.
Julius Peppers played on the Tar Heel basketball team.
A lot of football players playing basketball.
Not great at the Division I level. They were phenomenal athletes. That's not what I'm saying, but they, you know, probably shouldn't be starting or anything
right.
like that.
They were just having fun.
Yeah, one of those
things.
Take
a break from football or something. All right, so are you digesting this? Are you okay? Are you going... Gosh, I mean, are you chomping at the bit? Like, man, just think what
could
have been.
Yeah, I am. I mean, he could have been my favorite North Carolina basketball player of all time.
As
he could have been
most hated Duke.
Well, no, he's not. No. He's nowhere near the top of the most hated Duke players on my personal list.
Who is like Christian?
JJ Redick.
JJ.
Yeah. Not even close.
Yeah. Okay.
Not well. Grayson Allen. Is close.
I was never a big Bobby Hurley guy.
See, before my time.
Okay. Oh,
you gotta go.
Oh, you missed that whole Leitner thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
What year was that?
I mean, that was the early 90s.
How old am I?
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait a minute now. Well, anyway, I consider that to be a piece of breaking news, and he hasn't even started his show yet.
I know.
That starts Monday. I've never heard that story before in all the years of covering Jay Will. So that's pretty impressive.
Bill Guthridge, an assistant, bridesmaid, not the bride.
For 30 years.
Yeah, but it was right there. He's coaching under Dean Smith. Of course he was a good assistant coach. He had the GOAT to learn from.
Yeah. Well, one of the GOATs.
No.
No.
The GOAT.
No. I don't think.
The GOAT.
No, I don't necessarily think there's the. I got a strong case to make in Bloomington the same era. Here's another piece of breaking news. If Jay Will breaks news like this on a daily basis with his opinion, this is fantastic. Yes, Grayson Allen has to be up there.
Yeah, he is. He might take the cake, actually.
I like Christian Laettner. I have a heart. Nobody else did. Even his teammates, I don't think, loved him. But, you know, I like watching him play. So I asked him, I said, the NBA bubble is as it is. It's working. We're getting used to it. But we know that the next season is going to have to start before 2020 is up. And are they going to have to do a bubble again? Because COVID's not going away. We're not going to have a virus or a vaccine by then. And he suggested that the NBA would have some sort of like regional bubbles where you play in your bubble, then have time off for your family, then you go to another bubble. I had not heard that anywhere. Have you heard that before? I thought that was
no.
a fascinating idea.
No.
And then, look out for this, because I, for 2 days, have coined the phrase power three and power two regarding fall football versus spring football. He said he had not heard that before, but he seemed to like it. So I'm just telling you all right now.
if you hear it.
If you start hearing that throughout the ESPN lexicon and listening to the radio broadcast, it came from me.
Right.
Okay? That's a Craig original, an OG. So, but it was a great conversation. And again, their morning show will start on Monday.
Excellent interview.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. Listen, so people didn't like the interview with Keyshawn very much. He didn't say too much that day, but you know, again, partners can pull off of each other. And if Jay Will brings that and pulls that out of Keyshawn, that could be a good morning show.
What I liked about Jay right there was, you know, you ask him a question like about the Zion thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, he makes a little joke about it at first because it's his alma mater, Duke, and all that. But
right.
He says, look, I don't really know enough about it right now.
Yeah.
I like that as opposed to just giving some sort of answer off the cuff. So yeah. Just say, I don't know right now. We'll see.
Right. No, so it was fine because that whole thing's in a stay right now from a judge and all that. But, we'll look forward to hearing him. Is this live? All right, so Tampa Bay, I believe, has just scored a goal.
Yes!
It's 1-0 against the Columbus Blue Jackets. 14:36 to go in the first period.
So the
Tampa Bay leads the series after their 5 overtime game, 1-0.
Yeah, the Bolts, after not being able to score a goal in 4 overtimes, has now scored 2 goals against the Blue Jackets in the last 5 minutes and 25 seconds.
Oh, is this 2-0? It was already 1-0?
No, it's 1-0, but I'm saying the game ended, obviously, the other night.
And good observation.
And Kentucky, Tim, you're wrong. Kentucky fans don't hate Leitner more than Tar Heel fans. Equally, maybe. Equally.
Yeah.
You played him like twice.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Now, also, I couldn't help but notice a little extra enthusiasm in when the Lightning just scored a goal there. Now, you don't mind the Lightning. I don't think you're a diehard by any
stretch. No, go Bolts!
But it seems to me, just my intuition is sensing that perhaps you may have some skittles on this game. Would I be correct in that assessment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you would.
Point total or over-under?
No, just Tampa money line.
Okay.
Minus 170.
Okay. Very good.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We got daytime baseball that I might have a little action sprinkled on as well.
You do?
I'm just saying the Rays have been manhandling that Red Sox pitching staff, and I don't know why the pitching would be better at an end of the series than at the beginning of the series. So
good point.
I think that the total of, 9.5 today is a nice play.
Yes, yes. All right, Chris, I started the show by telling you while we were talking college football that the Southland Conference has a plan of their own that is different than anybody else. And again, I know we're not like I know we've got the Big Ten and the Pac-12. They're going in the spring. We've got the Power Threes. They're staying in the fall. We've got the American that's doing the 8+1, right? 8 conference games.
Do they go to?
Plus four.
Yeah,
8+4.
I don't know who I don't know how there are that many teams playing this fall for them to have a 4-game right. Non-conference schedule for all 12 members of the AAC. But
yeah.
Good for them for trying.
But the Southland Conference. Now this is your Lamar's, Northwestern State, Nicholls State, Sam Houston, Stephen F. Austin. Nobody really.
A lot of value in the point spreads with those teams, though.
Well,
they're not bet as much.
Sure.
You can get some funky lines with those games.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Now, let me say this. Here's what they're going to do. The Southland Conference is going to postpone until the spring for conference play. However, they're allowing the conference to play non-conference games in the fall. So they're going to.
It's a money grab.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's that's what this turns in. It turns into, you know, looking at the geography of it.
Right.
They're going to be the Big 12's non-conference games.
Correct.
Big 12 still has the 9+1 model for the fall.
Correct.
So they need those guarantee games. They need those money. They need that money to come in to keep the athletic department afloat. It's a financial decision.
So your football team.
Clearly.
It's going to be game ready in the fall.
One game.
One game?
Yeah.
Maybe two or three if they can schedule it, maybe, right? Maybe?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
And then kind of tap the brakes but keep practicing and then go play a conference in the spring. the football season for the Southland Conference is now going to be, 7 months long. That's their plan. I told you, it was like anybody else's. Nobody else had a plan similarly.
But how they can't practice throughout the 7 months.
Yeah, they're gonna have to start.
They're gonna have to practice,
get ready for the game. They're gonna have to shut down and then start practicing again for conference. It's
the NCAA.
And they're allowed so many practices.
Yeah,
but they may combine what they're allowed for spring football and fall football, and just keep it going 3 days a week all season long. Anyway, it's absolutely crazy. So anyway,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
they're not making that choice through a medical lens exclusively. They're making that choice because fiscally they have to.
Yes, they do.
They have to, or else small schools like that, the football will fold, or make the entire athletic department fold.
Follow the money. It's very, very simple. All right, now, one other thing we didn't get to, we touched on that. Florida State, Mike Norvell. Remember, Mike Norvell already had a problem with Marvin Wilson, his star defensive tackle back during the George Floyd situation, and Norvell had indicated that he had spoken individually to all of his players. Wilson said, no, you didn't. There was some sort of blanket email, but no, you have not talked individually to all of us. And they were on the verge of a player boycott. This was back in early summer. And then they patched things up and they're back to go. Now, three wide receivers for Florida State, and including, Tamorian Terry. They say that things are not transparent with the COVID testing, and things are being said publicly. In fact, some of these players, one player tweeted out that he was positive, and then he was told to take it down and not to talk about things. It says there's a complete lack of transparency with this COVID testing throughout the whole school, and now all the players are mad at Norvell again. I mean, this is the roughest debut offseason I have seen in some time for Florida State. And this is coming off of the Willie Taggart era. It's unbelievable. Yeah. This is not smooth at Florida State. So, anyway, see how they patch that up. I'm sure there'll be a statement released. And then regarding the ACC, 1 hour from now, in case you missed this earlier, this is big. The ACC presidents are going to meet. And they say this will be the final yay or nay about whether they're going to play in the spring, or the fall. I'm of the feeling they're going to get together and say, well, now we're playing in the spring. However, it was the Duke doctors that were saying, no, we can do this. And they may come out today and just reinforce, yeah, we're still in this. And the SEC's position has been, yeah, we're still in this. There's no need to make a decision now. We're not playing until the third week of September. And the Big 12 said, yeah, as of now, we're moving forward and playing. Way too early to make any decisions like the Big 10 and the Pac-12 did. So that's what's on the plate today regarding college football. Coming up, a lot of NFL sound I want to get to. We'll hear from Jerry Jones, how COVID affected their contract talks with Dak. We'll hear from Dak. Matt Nagy chiming in on his quarterback competition for you Bears fans. Doug Peterson back from COVID. And John Gruden talking about some rumors about him. So we'll get to all of that as we continue here on a Thursday. Don't forget, as we've mentioned many times already today, the all-new ESPN radio lineup debuting on Monday. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, we've had all three of them on to talk about it. Followed by Dan Le Batard with Stu Gotts from 10 to noon. Mike Greenberg then at noon. We've had Greeny on, and that's the name of his show, by the way, Greeny. We've had him on, talked to him. So we appreciate all the guys coming on and promoting the shows and talking to us. He'll be on from noon to two. I'm excited to have him as a lead-in to our show. Sheeman and Shepherd remains at 2 to 6. It's all new ESPN radio lineup debuting on Monday, August 17th. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Book has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. On a Thursday, Pete Shepherd on a 4-day weekender, playing a little golf. Got his little Ryder Cup out there at Bonita that he does each and every year. Hope he's having fun with that. He'll be back on Monday. Been a very interesting show so far between college football. College football's plans to play in the spring. The ACC is meeting. The presidents are meeting at 4:30 today. Had an interesting conversation with Jay Williams, soon to be the new morning show at Duke, or the former player at Duke, the morning show at ESPN Radio, which you can hear here. And then we get this text from this pinhead at 239. While you guys are taking a victory lap on the Jay Will interview, how come you didn't bring up all your frustration with prominence of Black Lives Matter logos causing you to not watch basketball and baseball? Notice you didn't do that with Greeny or Keyshawn either. Seemed all you were, you know, were all bubbly. But when a local yokel from a hotbed racist area, Connecticut, I guess he's referring to Pete, but I think that's unfair, called last week. Oh, I'm sorry. Referring to a caller from Connecticut last week. You all railed about seeing that as rubbing racism in your face. Seemed you were a little too defensive. I guess the whole point of Black Lives Matter movement is going over your heads. I love when two middle-aged white guys who live on golf courses and gated communities declare racism and it's over and it's inconvenient to them. Always have loved the show, but disappointed. Bud, longtime listener.
How dare you call me middle-aged? How dare you?
Yes.
Look, I'm not even going to... First of all, have any of us said anything about Black Lives Matter and anything negative?
Okay, first of all, let me run down this checklist he's presented here. I typically don't read text that long because even you heard it was all jumbled. Number one, Bud, it sounds like you haven't listened to the show because we spent about 3 weeks on Black Lives Matter, okay, over the summer, ad nauseum. Because, first of all, it deserved our attention. The whole country was talking about it. We talked about it. At some point, we had to steer in a different direction. And I will tell you, at some point, yeah, I believe the NBA is a little over the top with it. And they're getting killed in the ratings. All right? There aren't a million people watching nationally televised basketball games anymore. Do you know how many people watch Hard Knocks this week? 200,000. That, if you don't know, that's bad. That's nationwide. All right? And part of it is, and here's where the part goes over your head, not mine. We all support black people and the problems that they've had to deal with in this country. But there's a difference between the Black Lives Matter and the Black Lives Movement organizers who are a bunch of Marxists with $1 billion paying people to go into cities and tear them up. That's the part that's rubbing most of America the wrong way. And that's why most of America is sick having it thrown in their faces as social issues when they want to watch sports to get away from reality of the world and problems of the world and COVID and paying bills and 50 million people being unemployed. That's where people are getting tired of it. NBA ratings are in the toilet right now. I'm going to get into the soccer game from last night in a minute. But look, we gave it its due. We spent 3 weeks of it on this show, day in and day out. We know what the hell we're doing here. We got extremely high ratings, and we have a pretty diverse audience, and a lot of different opinions. And that's the other thing I want to point out to you.
And every opinion and view is welcome here. And we're not all going to agree on everything, but where's the conversation?
None. He just comes out swinging and suggesting we did a softball piece with Jay Will. You gotta be kidding me. Frankly, I asked him a much more difficult question about Zion and Mike Krzyzewski. Because that's what I wanted to talk to him about. You really want me to sit here and do the doom and gloom of the... No, I'm not going down there with him. We did that. Spent all summer talking about it. I'd rather much hear what he's got to say about playing in a bubble and next season in a bubble and what's going on with college football. These things have never been seen before. That's what I want to do here today. That's what I did. And I know what the hell I'm doing. I've been doing this stuff for 30 years. I don't know how long you've been a listener.
Longer than I've been alive.
I've been doing radio longer than Chris has been alive. I know what I'm doing here. The audience can engage in something for so long, and then it's like they need a break. I'm all fired up now. Which leads me to the next thing I wanted to get to. This soccer game last night. God, far be it for me to talk soccer. The MLS.
Nashville with the big win. 86th minute winner.
1-0, as all soccer games are.
Well, a lot of MLS games are 1-0, yes.
This was Nashville and Dallas at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas. The players kneeled during the national anthem. Reggie Cannon, who Chris tells me is a good player.
Good young up-and-coming player, probably will be on his way to Europe here in the next year or two to take the next step in his game.
He's a player for Dallas?
Dallas, yeah.
He afterwards said how disgusted he was by the boos while they were kneeling during the anthem. And woe is me, can't even have support from your own fans in your own stadium, quote unquote. And this goes into Bud, the texter, as well. Listen, their opinion counts just as much as Reggie Cannon's opinion counts. But here's another thing, Bud, and I didn't get to this earlier. People are getting sick and tired of being preached down to if their opinion is different from yours. Reggie Cannon looked at the cameras and the media yesterday and said those fans who booed him for kneeling during the national anthem were disgusting. No, they just have a different opinion. And you know what that opinion of most people is? Again, most people support you, Reggie Cannon. Most people support African Americans in this country. I hope they all do. They should. But what we don't want to be told if we have a different opinion, if we think you should not kneel during the anthem and find some other time to do it, that opinion is just as valid as yours. So quit talking down to me as a radio host or as somebody watching a soccer game. Our opinions count too. I'm really getting sick of this country where if your opinion is different, you get talked down to like you're some idiot. We support black people. We should love all people. But I think it's a valid point for some, and it seems to be about half the people out there. Go protest, but don't do it during the anthem. That's still out there. I know that's another tired subject that people don't want to listen to.
And it's not really a protest. A protest is done
right
without giving permission, right? The MLS has said, go ahead and kneel. That's fine, yeah. Your employer had to sign off on your protest, but, you know, that's something different. No, what Reggie Cannon said was he wished that the national anthem wasn't played at all.
I'm okay with having that conversation, by the way. That is something that should be discussed. I don't know if it's the right thing or not, but it's certainly a viable option. I mean, I don't know why we play it before games anyway.
Really? Apart from, like, talking soccer, I understand playing it before the United States plays Mexico, right? You play the U.S. national anthem, you play the Mexican national anthem, and it's patriotic. You've got the colors of your flag on your shirt.
Yeah.
But no, they don't do it in Europe. No. In Europe, they don't play the country's national anthem before a soccer match.
Right.
When Manchester United and Liverpool play, God Save the Queen is not played before that game. It's just you line up, you take a photo, you're on.
A lot of texts coming in on my little rant.
Fired up.
863, Craig is on fire. Love it. You're amazing. I agree 100%. Keep it up. Love the show. Totino says, bravo, Craig. Bravo. LeBron hater number one says, is this the Dan Levitard show? 239, that's Bud. I'm not a pinhead either, and your rant is reinforcing my opinion.
Fine, take your opinion and shove it somewhere else.
No, he can have his opinion. If I'm going to have my
opinion, I just said take his opinion and shove it. I didn't say don't have your opinion. I said take your opinion. Nobody's forcing you to keep it on this radio station.
6'3".
Apparently, I went to school with this person.
Really? Well, he's a keyboard warrior. Why don't you call 239-337-ESPN? Would love to hear it. I'll put you right on the air. I'll stop everything and put you on. 6'3", 5 o'clock hot takes came a little early, huh, Craig? Let's see here. Craig, you the man, totally agree. From roasting marshmallows. You guys are probably the best sports show I've ever heard. Thank you very much. Grocery list. And you earn those damn golf course houses. By the way, for the record, I do not live on a golf course.
I don't live on a golf course either.
It is gated, but I don't live on a golf course.
I wish I lived on a golf course. My hope is that my next house will be on a golf course. That's my goal in life. I'm not there yet.
What? I could see you're that guy out there at 7:30 twilight. You got a, you got the ninth hole behind your
house.
Oh,
I've told all my friends. I cannot wait for the day where I can go up to the clubhouse, grab a cocktail, go out to the putting green, and just putt balls for 30 minutes in the twilight. That's what I long for. That's what I want out of my life. I want to be able to go up and putt for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Think that would improve?
Oh, I know it would improve. Putting is just practice, just repetition. That's all you got to do over and over and over, and you'll get better at it.
Yeah.
Not like, hitting a golf club or something like that.
All right. The texts are still coming in. I'm gonna take a little breather.
Yeah, that's fine.
239-337-ESPN is the phone number if you want to chime in on any of that.
And yes, grocery list, your name is grocery list because you texted us your grocery list one day on accident.
By accident.
By accident, which is what we get a lot.
We've probably, in 3 years, I've probably had four times where guys were texting back and they thought they were texting their wives or whatever.
Hey, where you at?
Hey, where are we meeting for dinner tonight? All that kind of stuff. And it got here instead. And so we have fun with that. By the way, all the people texting, thank you for your support. It's getting to the point where I'm not going to be able to read any more of these. Appreciate it. And again, I'm not, if you all have a different opinion, I'm respectful of that too. And look, Bud had a different opinion, but it was a little... I'm not going to say he was nasty about it, but he was a little... I don't want to be talked down to for having a different opinion. That's what Bud did. That's what Reggie Cannon did. And I'm getting tired of that. And I think a silent majority of Americans are getting tired of it too, but they're afraid to say it. First of all, they don't have the outlet I have, a radio show every day. And they're afraid to do it in public because then they'll get called racist. So there's a silent group out there.
Here's where I stand. I'm not tired of it. I don't even want to say past it, but I was told as a white guy, just listen to me as a black, listen to your black friend, listen to the black people you interact with on a daily, try to understand what they go through.
Right. We've tried it.
I am trying.
We continue to try.
And again, if you're going to tell me, if we have a conversation and you tell me, well, you're not black, you're never going to understand, then that's a bar that I can never clear.
Right.
But I can try.
Right.
I can try to listen, and I can try to engage in conversation. But I feel like most Americans at this point are to the next phase where it's like, okay, what's going to be done, and what tangible is going to come out of this movement, right? What are laws or policy that's going to be put in place or anything like that? And that's what I'm more concerned about now is. You knelt during the national anthem because you felt like that's what you needed to do to get my attention.
Right.
Great.
Got it.
You have my attention. Now what? Now what can I do to help you? What can we all do to help each other and lift each other up in society and make America a better place? And that's where I'm at now is I feel like the kneeling during the anthem has almost fallen on deaf ears now because it's been going on for 4 years now. I mean, literally, I think we're at the 4-year anniversary.
Yeah.
It was preseason in 2016 when this happened.
Yeah.
What's going to be done?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at. So I hate to say that I'm past it or anything like that, but I'm almost beyond the protesting part. And it's like, okay, let's get something tangible done here.
Now, let me put an exclamation point on this, Chris. I agree with everything you just said. Wholeheartedly. But I'll go back to something I said way back when all this social unrest started. I, as a middle-aged, white, educated Christian, I'm getting tired of being told I'm the problem in this country. Because I'm not.
We're not. No, and I don't think most people are saying that we're the problem. I think that what most people are saying who are on the side of... I don't even want to say side because then, this is all like divisive language. Me,
right.
You, it should be us. It shouldn't be those people, us. It shouldn't be that. It should just be us.
Right.
Plain and simple. And I understand that the Black Lives Matter movement was not saying Black Lives Matter more,
right,
or Black Lives only matter.
Right.
It was Black Lives Matter also. And I agree with that. I agree with that. And I'm not going to say that all lives matter, because I've heard that that diminishes the BLM movement.
But we had to be taught that. We had to be taught that, right?
Right. We had to be taught that. Okay. I'm trying to learn.
Yeah. I think that was well said.
And that's where Reggie Cannon just, and again, I don't like seeing the guys kneel during the national anthem. I've come to understand it.
Yeah.
I understand why certain people feel like it needs to be done.
Yep.
Which is fine, but that doesn't mean that, you know, they're any less patriotic or I'm any less patriotic or anything like that, but just what's the next tangible step?
And with that, let's take a break. If you want to chime in, it's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Yeah, whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for tuning in on a Thursday. Pete on vacation right now. Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. A lot going on. By the way, in case you just tuned in, I had a texter rail on me for not bringing up Black Lives Matters to Jay Williams, who is going to be the new morning show at ESPN Radio, with a lengthy monologue/discussion on that last segment. Raider Mike is on the phone. His Portland Trailblazers are hanging on by a thread, trying to get that 8th spot in the bubble in the NBA. Raider Mike, how are you today?
Excellent. I'm actually in your home state right now.
Stuck in traffic. I've lived in many states. Which one?
Shelbyville.
Oh, Indiana. Okay. All right.
Yeah. On my way to Medina, and then I'm going to Sturgis. Love to see what's going to happen there with Antifa and BLM.
Well, are you?
Should be fun.
Are you going to the bike rally there in Sturgis? I think that's wrapping up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a bike owner?
No. I was. I'm going to get another one here when I move to Vegas.
Gotcha.
But been riding bikes my whole life.
Yeah.
Started out with dirt bikes. But anyway, to move on to what I want to talk about, the Blazers.
Yeah.
This is cool how they set up this play-in thing.
Yeah.
They're going to kill the Nets. I'm going to go to a Chicago sports bar, get some of their pizza, and watch the Blazers kill the Nets. But Dame took them to the conference finals without Nurkic and Collins and without Gary Trent thinking he's Curry.
Right.
I mean,
well, CJ McCollum's playing with a broken back, right? I mean, is he going to be effective?
Oh, he's been playing dominant. Yeah. He's just throwing himself in there. He don't care. He's fine.
Now, Charles Barkley thinks that if your Blazers get that 8th spot, you're beating the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. I think we're winning the title.
Really?
Like I said, with all our guys doing what they're doing, Dame dropping 60.
Yeah.
And you know somebody's going to shoot their mouth off about him again. He'll drop 70. And he's just that kind of mentality. I watched this kid. I got one of his first shirts. It's called an all-game Dame shirt.
Yeah.
Dollar Dame's new. In Portland, where I grew up, he's known as all-game Dame.
Yeah.
And that we got the shirts to prove it. So I like that name better.
All right, well, we'll see if they can get that 8th spot and have an interesting series with the Lakers. Raider Mike, safe travels to you. And tell people in Indiana I said hello. Cougar Hunter, you're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Hello, how are you?
Guys, awesome show, Craig.
Thank you.
You're the MVP. Don't let that guy get you mad and worked up.
I did get worked up.
I was going to say, right before you guys cut off to the break, you guys said, like, what's next? I mean, in my opinion, like everybody else's, reparations would be nice. That way, you know, they get a head start, African Americans, to some that.
Cougar Hunter, like I thought we were talking privileged. Soccer.
Oh, I'm getting there. I'm already kidding. I was just going to say, I feel like, you know, with reparations, everybody will start off nil-nil. And to Craig's point, he almost called them Nick Cannon instead of Ray Cannon.
Yes. Right.
No, but, I mean, everybody's going to have their opinions. To me, reparations would just shut everybody up. And after that, whatever happens, there wouldn't be nobody to point the finger at or say it's your fault that, you know, such and such did this to my ancestors or whatever the case might be. I just feel like everybody will start off in an even playing field, and well, there won't be no more blame to go around or fighting.
All right, Cougar Hunter, I appreciate your opinion. Again, with that, I don't even know where you start on an amount. But anyway, let's go to my man Otis, who is on the phone. Otis, you're early today. How are you?
Yeah, what's going on, see?
Not too much, man. Just holding it down.
I don't know, man. It sounded like you were flexing your muscles a little while back then. That was pretty funny. Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you, though. I mean, you and Pete frequently call y'all stuff middle age. So that's, am I to believe you're going to live to be 102?
Well, no, I don't think so. I know that.
I think you... I'm coming down the hill side pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to make it to 102.
I understand. I am past halftime. I'm well into the third quarter.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, listen, heard a couple of you guys. I hope my man have a good time in Sturgis. Got some other buddies going there. It's probably not going to be as big as before, but I hope they enjoy themselves. Raider Mike, the young guy right before you brought me on.
Yeah.
I heard him talking a little bit. Listen, I'm on the mind of this. I mean, some guys believe in that reparation stuff. I don't want you to give me anything.
Yeah.
I want to get it.
Yeah.
I'll get all mine from the muscle.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't need reparations. I don't need anything. And on another point, I'd like to say, I think people get a little twisted. Most people, level-headed, are not, they don't really want you. They're not lopping you into the group of the people that are obviously never going to change. I mean,
right.
All you can do, Craig, is be the best Craig you can be.
Yeah.
And, I'm cool with that.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? All my friends are the best version of themselves, whether they purple, whether they Seminole, whether they from Pleasantville, Indiana, where you from, or if they are Rich Beasley. All those guys. Be the best version of yourself that you can be, and I'll do my best to be me. We're going to run into some people that are the best version of them that really suck because they got a whole different view. They were brought up in it.
Right.
All of us were born and we knew nothing, but our brains are sponges, and we learned to hate. We learned to, we learn all that stuff. That's a learned thing. Maybe you don't care who's next to you.
Yeah. Well, that's why the best version of Otis and the best version of Craig get along.
That's good, man. So,
sometimes.
Next time you get mad at another hobbit that you're going to throw down with at a football game.
Okay.
That Craig there, that Craig is funny. Another Craig.
All right.
Good, man.
Sounds good. Be good, Otis. Thanks. Appreciate it. Always love talking to Otis. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. All right. We got the 4 o'clock hour coming up.
Well, we're actually there.
Now we are. Okay. All right. 4:30, the ACC presidents are going to meet and speak with their final word. Season on the brink again for the fall. College football. So we'll keep you posted on all that. Stay with us. And we'll play Craigopedia because Pete's gone today. I got a cold snap. I got a break here, a cold streak here. I got to snap it.
Lefties in sports.
Lefties is because it's like National Left-Hander Day or something like that. So all that coming up, more of your reaction at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Plus we have some NFL head coaches and owners to hear from as well. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.